Welcome to the final part of a three-part series, an interview with my guest professor, Ron Rutowski, from the School of Life Sciences at Arizona State University. In this part, we'll be learning about Professor Rutowski's other life in music. We've had a chance to learn about your work with butterflies at ASU. You also have another life. You're an accomplished fiddle player.
It's my evil twin.
Your evil twin? Well, how long have you been playing the violin?
Oh, since I was about 10.
About 10?
Yeah.
And performing?
Well, if you count recitals that I did when I was a kid, you know, for the benefits of my parents mostly, it was, you know, since that time, because the recitals are part of most music instruction programs. In terms of actually playing with bands and doing gigs, if you will, since high school. You know, I played in orchestras all through junior high and high school, including one of my first years in high school. I actually toured Scandinavia for 3 weeks with the Youth Symphony. But classical music didn't stick with me, and by the time I was a senior in high school, I was very heavily involved in folk music and bluegrass. I continued to be involved while I was a student going to college, and then when I was a graduate student even, I was playing with bluegrass bands, and then I got this job at ASU, and I just never quit. I couldn't. My wife says I'm addicted to it.
Well, it's a good addiction, I'd have to say. And on that note, no pun intended, let's take a moment to listen to a song from your solo album, Violin Alone. The song is a short piece. It's just a little over a minute and a half in length and is called, I love this title, Stronger Than Dirt. Now that we've had a chance to listen to Stronger Than Dirt, where did the title come from?
Well, that's kind of, there's a quote in the middle of that tune from an old Cream song called, Cream was a rock band from the 1960s, a quote from a tune they did called Sunshine of Your Love. To my ear, that line always sounded like a commercial. I mean, it's a bunch of odd, you know, connections, but that always sounded like a commercial that was popular or frequently aired when I was growing up for some dishwashing soap called Stronger Than Dirt. So that's where it came from. I have a bunch of really odd associations and connections. It was.
Now that you have the evil twin and you have your science career, do you find it difficult juggling the two careers?
Being a professor, being associated with the university provides a much more stable form of employment with better benefits and all of that. So that has, in a sense, always taken priority. But I've never really been willing to let the music go completely, as I know many of my colleagues have. There are a large number of my colleagues who were pretty active in music, you know, up until they graduated from high school or graduated from college. The graduate years of graduate school working on a PhD or master's degree seem to be at times that are especially common for people to sort of let music go, let people's firsthand involvement in music go. I never did. So I always remained first and foremost committed to a career in academia, but I always managed, for whatever reasons, and there are a variety of reasons for that, to maintain an involvement in music. So, you know, as a graduate student working on my PhD, people would hear me play and ask me to join their band. When I got here, I think within 3 months of having arrived in Phoenix, I had made connections with the music business here and was performing. So I've always been able to sort of control my involvement in music, so it never interfered with my academic pursuits and my life as a faculty member at ASU. The hardest time was when I was trying to do road gigs and stuff like that on weekends and stuff, and it was interesting because on the road I could get a lot done on airplanes that I couldn't get done in my office because I was undisturbed. And if there was anything that sort of became particularly difficult at that time, it was not just juggling these two careers, it was juggling those with a family.
Right.
I had a family growing up at that time, and it all hung together okay, I'm happy to report, but that was difficult.
And you may say, you've pretty much answered this, but is there a crossover between music and your science career? In other words, what I'm asking is, do you find one enhances the other?
Well, they certainly do for me in terms of my mental health. I, you know, being able to go out and play gigs puts me in situations that's so removed from academia that it's very refreshing in a way. And I think it works both ways. I think my being in academia means I'm not thinking about music constantly, so when I go out on gigs, I may be a little fresher than some of my friends who've been working five nights a week in the bar, you know, and stuff like that. The connection that I've always puzzled about but never made is that of taking a scientific, a sort of behavioral, a sensory perspective on music. And somehow that has just never happened. Recently, I was watching a news program the other night, and they were interviewing this fellow who is an actively gigging saxophonist playing jazz, who has made also a career out of studying the neuroscience of music by looking at what parts of the brain respond to music, what parts of the brain are responsible for recognizing music as such, what our musical sort of expectations are that we bring when we listen to it. But I've just never gotten into that. So that's, although, like I say, there are ways in which I think, for me, being involved as a musician has helped me maintain certain kinds of perspectives on my life as an academia and vice versa. I've never really gotten involved in the scientific study of music or in musically expressing scientific ideas.
Right. While I was researching some of the things you've been doing musically lately, I did come across a video clip on YouTube. I'd just like to mention it because a lot of the younger scientists out there are probably addicted to YouTube, like a lot of the country. And I just wanted to say that if someone wanted to go actually not only hear you, but see you perform, mm-hmm. They could go to YouTube and look up your name. And also the person you're performing with is Jeff Dayton. Switching gears, or to come to a conclusion of this interview, I always ask three questions of my scientists. When did you first know you wanted to be a scientist or biologist?
Well, about the same time I started playing violin, I think. It was when I was about 10 years old. I mean, in my earliest, well, maybe earlier than that, actually. I was thinking about this the other day. When I was about 7 or 8, my parents bought me a telescope. And I used to set this up in the backyard in the evening and look at the moon. We tried to see how many moons of Jupiter we could count on a clear night. We'd try to see the rings of Saturn, which even with this relatively crude telescope with poor optics was not difficult to do. And at that time, my mother claims that there were kids in the neighborhood come around and look at this, and I would be talking about this stuff, and that some of them actually called me professor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe that cut the mold right there, you know. But then I remember even in sixth grade, when I was about 10 or 11, writing a paper on genetics and finding it just fascinating. You know, this was stuff on the genetics of hair color, simple Mendelian genetics stuff, but I thought that was really interesting. And as a teenager, I got interested in natural history and bird watching. By the time I graduated from high school, I was wholly committed to doing some sort of biological profession. And in college, I saw the lives of the faculty and said, that's pretty sweet.
Pretty cool.
So that's for me. And so at that point, I became committed to be. It was when I was in college I became committed to being a faculty member at a university and engaged in research. So it's been a long time.
If you were not a biologist, what would you be?
I really don't know. I mean, I guess some people say, "Oh, you're getting close to retirement, so then you're going to go music full time." I don't know. You know, it's I like doing both, and I've wanted to and have been a biologist for such a long time, it's hard for me to imagine what else I might do. I just really love it.
And for young scientists, maybe even old scientists, or scientists that always wanted to be, what advice would you have for them?
Yeah, that's. I always find that difficult to answer a question like that. But, you know, if one's committed to science, there are lots of venues available for young people to experience science. Certainly at the university, we provide programs not just for students to listen to lectures in science, but to become involved in research. There are similar sorts of programs available to students at high school levels and even junior high levels for them to become involved in research or to learn about research by firsthand participation in it. Lots of programs throughout the country for this sort of thing. And, you know, you have to keep in mind that basically science is the business of not just all facts and figures, but it's a process of trying to answer questions about how the world works and test ideas about how we understand the way the world works. And the sooner you can get involved in that sort of thing, presumably if you want to be a scientist in the first place, you're curious about the world and how it works. So the sooner you can get involved with that, the more exciting it will be for you, and the more compelling, and the better it will prepare you for a career in that field.
Well, on that note, again, with our musical theme, I want to thank Ron Rutowski for visiting with us.
Thanks, Dr. Biology. It's been fun.
You've been listening to Ask a Biologist, and my guest has been Professor Ron Rutowski from the ASU School of Life Sciences. You can read more about Dr. Rutowski on the Ask a Biologist website. Just click on the profiles link to see his and other biologists' profiles. If you'd like to read more about butterfly vision, there is a companion web article called Did You Know Butterflies Are Legally Blind? You can find this and other articles under the articles link. The Ask a Biologist podcast is produced on the campus of Arizona State University, and even though our program is not broadcast live, you can still send us your questions about biology using our companion website. The address is askabiologist.asu.edu. Or you can just Google the words, Ask a Biologist. I'm Dr. Biology.